So I want to share this morning just a little bit on what's the title? The title is Move, Don't Be Stuck. And we can all get stuck. And sometimes it doesn't take a lot to get stuck. How many of you have got 4x4s? Oh, not a lot of you. How many of you have driven in a 4x4? How many of you have driven in a 4x4 on a sand road or on a dune on a beach somewhere? Like really soft, hot sand. And then you're driving along and then you stop to maybe check something out. Bokdroliki of a spoor of a, maybe there's like a nice river you want to go for a swim. But what you quickly learn when you're 4x4 is that you don't stop. You don't use your brakes when you're on sand. Because when you use your brakes when you're on sand, you'll stop and it'll make like a little valiki. Like a klein spiki sand. Like a little valiki. What's a valiki in Afrikaans? A small little valiki of sand. And then when you get back in your car and you want to get going, that little bit of sand, I mean, it must be like 200 grams of sand, will stop you from moving forward. But if you just coast to a stop and you don't make that little valiki, or if you've made that little valiki and you just wipe it away with your hand, you can carry on and your journey is not impeded. It is not stopped. And sometimes as Christians, we get to a place where we're driving on the sand road of life and there's small little things that come along our way that stop us, that cause us to lose focus, that cause us to lose momentum. And small little things can derail us and can cause us to get into a place of being stuck. And our wheels are turning and we're not moving forward and we're just sinking deeper and deeper into the sand. Theo, can you please come and share your little, not your little, your powerful, big, amazing vision.
All right. Okay, all right. Okay. The Lord just from last week showed me a vision, which he just refreshed again this morning. And it's like as you in the desert or you know on a sandy area, it's just as a sandstorm that comes up, and the sandstorm is just going crazy, and we're all in the sandstorm and we don't know which way to go and what to do, and things are a bit demakar, and you've got sand just blowing into your eyes and stuff. And yeah, the Lord was just showing me this morning as well as I was standing outside. And just being prepared and ready for, because we were serving this morning, the whole outside parking area being covered with the same sandstorm. And us just, as we all just come into the area or come to the church, how we all just step out of that sandstorm.
So I would like to just apply that word. If there's a sandstorm, now, I've never been in a sandstorm, but I've been in a southeaster, which is kind of like a sandstorm. And if you're standing on the beach and that sand's blowing, the thing that happens is there's sand in your eyes. You can't really see. You lose focus. You lose focus of where you're going, and you kind of like just get disheartened. And I'm speaking on discipleship this morning. And what I want to propose to you this morning is that word is saying that maybe we've lost a little bit of focus. Maybe we've lost a little bit of direction. Maybe we've lost a little bit of courage. Maybe we've lost a little bit of trust. Maybe we've lost a little bit of faith. And what the purpose of this morning's preach is to restore all those things to you, but not just to restore those things to you, but to help us to understand what we can do in order to encourage one another, to build one another up, to stir one another up, to console one another, to encourage one another, to edify one another, so that all of us at the end of the day can make it to our destination, which is heaven. Right, so that's what this morning is about. And so that's what I want you to listen to what we're speaking about this morning from that lens. It's meant to activate you and to motivate your heart. And so let me start with a little testimony. Now, you know, COVID happened last year, and then we planted Hartlemoss in February. That was good. And then COVID happened, and then we kind of like we were in lockdown till it, whenever. And then we broke the congregation into two, and MC started leading here in the morning, and you know, Andries Louis was leading and Hartenbosch and Steve started leading in the evening. And you know what? You know where that left me? Nowhere. I worked myself out of a job. I was in a sandstorm. And yes, it was not nice. Eh? It's still not nice. And we were here Wednesday night. We was here Wednesday night with the worship. It was awesome, eh? Just being able to get together with like 180 people. And we were just worshiping. And Hartenbosch was here. You saw some of the old faces. And I was sitting over there. And the MC was leading. And Andries Louis was leading. And they were doing a great job. As good as me or even better. And I was worshiping. And, you know, I really wanted to worship. But it was difficult for me. Because I was in this place of the sandstorm. And we afterwards, you know, everyone's chatting, and you know, when you get in that place, you kind of like, you don't really want to fellowship. You kind of like feel awkward, you know? Like, you know, where do I fit? So I spoke to Uncle Jeff. Thanks, Uncle Jeff. And Tony Marlene. And we walked out, and as we got to the car, Uncle Jeff said to me, "Hey, Monet." And everyone was kind of like leaving, and now, when we got here, this building was a quarter finished. This wasn't here. There were weeds in here. It was like no walls. It was just, we met in there. And he said to me, "Monet, yes, it's amazing. Look at what the Lord's built through you." And I looked at the building, and he said to me, no, look at the people. And then I still wasn't all right, but that was a good start. And then this morning Eugene got up and I'm sitting over there, and he says, you know this started as a congregation, and then we planted Still Bay, and then we planted George, and now we've planted AMPM and Hartenbosch. And I was like, oh, that's all right. I've done all right. I haven't done nothing. And I'm not saying this to blow my trumpet, because I know it's God. I mean, and I know it's you. And I know it's me, but I know it's us. But you know what those two little words did for me? It's changed my position. You know, what it's done for me is it's stirred me up, it's built me up, and it's cheered me up. Because I had lost sight of my calling. I've started losing sight of my faith. And I've started losing my joy and my love for God. Now, if that can happen to me, can that happen to you? You know, and to just refocus us as a church. Why are we here? Why are we here? Are we here to fill in lists and do quicket systems and to make sure that everyone gets inside and to be busy and to do the sound and to do the worship and to be busy and to... That's all good. But if you lose sight of that or go to community, you know, all these things that we do. But if we lose sight of the main thing why we're here, what is the main thing why we're here? What are we here to produce? What are we here to make? Because we have a product. Not Sunlight Soap or a hamburger or a... But we do have a product. And what we are making and what we are making together, not me, not Emsley, not Eugene, not the community leaders, not the deacons, us together, what we are making is we are making disciples. And sometimes it's very good just to stop in the middle of your sandstorm. And to take stock. You see, that's what these two words did for me. It reminded me of actually what's been happening. While I couldn't see the wood from the trees or the vision from the sandstorm, my friends, my brothers spoke. He didn't even know he was encouraging me this morning. Did you know, Eugene? He didn't know. He thought it was a nice intro. It was a great intro. And it just did something in my heart. It was like, oh, I see. I see the call. Yeah. Yes. There is faith. I can look over my shoulder and yes, God has used me through the Holy Spirit. I don't have to now rely on my own strength into the future. I can see, yes, there is a joy. Even though I'm not feeling happiness now, there is a joy in the Lord that I can walk in. And there's still the love of God that can encourage me. And so the Lord calls each and every one of us to do these little things. And they're often small little things, like what happened. And often they're unknowing things. But to do them, you have to be present. And to do them, you have to go. Now, Matthew 28 starts like this. No, it doesn't start like this. Matthew 28:19 starts like this. I'm going to get back to that now because I just want to go. It says go. Go into all the world and make disciples. So go. So in order to make disciples, we have to go. We have to make something. We're producing something. And what we're producing is we're producing disciples. But this thing of going is very often misunderstood. I want to say, don't go, stay. Because when we think go, we think, I need to get on a plane and go to China and Outer Mongolia in order to be effective. When we think go, I think I have to remove myself from these people and I have to go there and do something there for the kingdom to extend. And that might be your call. But for most of us, it's probably not. So I want to replace that word go with move. We have to be a people of movement in our spirits. We have to be a people that is moving ourselves in order to participate in the kingdom of God. Because you have got this thing called the flesh. And your flesh will war against your spirit. And God wants to use your spirit to produce life. And what happens is that if we're not moving, we get stuck in our flesh. And so what we need as a people in order to make disciples is we have to have an attitude of movement. We have to have an attitude of going. Lord, use me. Lord, where can you use me? Lord, what must I do today? What can I do now? When I come to the church service, what can I contribute? When I go to community, what do you want me to give or to participate or to pray or to prophesy or to speak in tongues or to interpret a tongue or to encourage or to love or to take a meal or to phone someone or to, because as a people, we are called to go and to move. Yes. Now let's start where we were really supposed to start, because this doesn't just happen automatically. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. 11? How many were there initially? 12. Where's the one? He got taken out. This is serious. God's calling you to be a disciple, not an attender, not an audience, not a worker, not a follower. He's calling you to be a, say it. God, say with me. God. Let's move together. God is calling, raise your hand, me to be a disciple. But it sees we say. And that's all of us. There are no classes in heaven. There isn't a class for following and a class for disciples and a class for an audience and a class for a worker and a class for some other category that we might think up. No. Jesus says, go and make disciples. And if you aren't with the Lord, then the Lord is not with you. And so we see in an example in the Bible that if we really neglect this principle, then we could get lost like Judas. Let's carry on. When they saw him, They worshipped him, but some doubted. Think about that quickly. Some doubted. I mean, this isn't Pete Pompey's that got saved yesterday. These are the guys that walked with Jesus. These are the guys that saw the miracles. These are the guys that were in his church for 3 years. And not just on a Sunday and a Wednesday. No, they slept with him. They walked with him. They saw everything that happened. They were with him all the time. And they doubted. Do you sometimes doubt? I want to give you permission this morning to doubt. You see, I doubted. I just told you my story of doubt. But doubting is not apistia. You see, doubting is distasso. Hypotasso means to come, hypodermic needle, tasso, authority. Hypotasso means to come under someone's authority. Distasso, to tasso, under, means that when I'm believing something, I'm unitasso. I don't think there's a word like that. It's actually pistis. But follow the concept. The concept is that when I'm under Jesus' word, when I'm under the Holy Spirit's guiding, when I'm in and under the church's leading and guiding and fellowship and authority, I'm of one mind. I'm of one purpose. I'm of one direction. When I'm under the world and I'm under the church, and I'm under the world and I'm under the church, and I'm under the world's values and I'm under the church's values, that's when I dis, that's when I to, tasso. As a Christian, you can't be under both. But this tasso, doubting on this process of this walk that the Lord is taking us through, we are growing in our faith. But it's not apistia. No belief. You see, that's something different. Which makes room now for us as believers to worship and to doubt. It makes room for us believers to worship, to doubt, and to reach out and say, help. Because if we believe this is that, then there's shame and condemnation and there's no fellowship and there's just it's over. Right? And there's some of us sitting here today and we are struggling. It should encourage you today that I am willing to share my struggles in front of 150 strangers. Well, there's 30 of you that's new. By the way, my name is Monet. Because it's not a shame to struggle. It's a shame to give up. And so being a disciple is a person of movement. Being a disciple is a person that doesn't give up. Being a disciple is being under the values of the kingdom. Being a disciple is knowing that I'm in a process with the Lord. And it will go good and it will go bad. But if you're in the bad, it's all right. Because God still got you. As long as you don't give up. And next verse. Then Jesus came to them saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go. So we go not because we choose. We go not because we think it's a good idea. We go not because it's to the benefit of the world, because we've got something to give them and something to offer them. We go. Why? Because all authority has been given to Jesus. If you go without Jesus giving you the authority, you are going on your own. And there's a lot of people that go it at their own. You see, Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. He only said what he heard the Father saying. Not every ministry that is out there is in the will of the Father. Not every ministry that is out there is making disciples. And I want to say the defining characteristic of any ministry is, are they making disciples? Because if they're making something else, if you go to the All Gold factory, tomatoes go in the one end, a whole bunch of sugar, a bottle, a label, and a cap. What comes out the other end? Tomato sauce. all gold. If the factory manager had to walk into the factory on the Monday morning, it would probably be a Monday morning. And on the other side, out comes apricot jam coup. Do you think he would be confused? Yes, he would be confused. Maybe he went to the wrong factory. Sorry. God calls us to make disciples. So what does a disciple look like? Something we have to answer. Someone that goes. Someone that's under the authority of the Father. And that's why Jesus says, go therefore, make disciples, baptizing them. How many of you have been baptized? What happened to you when you baptized? Got baptized. You went into the water and then someone pushed you under. If you had breathed at that point, what would have happened? It wouldn't have gone well. You would have gotten some water in your lungs. So you went under completely. There was nothing of you that was outside of the water. Every part of you went into the water. You know, and the theology of baptism in the church today is a wonderful example of maybe the way that we view discipleship. Because some people just refuse to get baptized. Some people say, well, I'll get baptized by sprinkling. You know, a little bit of water will touch some areas of my life. Maybe a little bit of my finances. Maybe a little, the kingdom will maybe touch a little bit of my money. Maybe it'll touch a little bit of my time. Maybe it'll touch a little bit of my family. Maybe I can come into Christianity and just be sprinkled a little bit. Or maybe I'm here and I'm saying like, no. You know, I'll serve God on my terms. I'm not going to be a disciple. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I'll decide. And one day when I stand before God, I'll show God my goodness, my good works, and what I've done for his kingdom on my own terms. But what we see in Matthew 28 is that God says, you be baptized, be fully immersed into my kingdom. And so a characteristic of a disciple is someone that fully immerses himself in the kingdom of God. And where is the kingdom of God? It's inside of my heart, but it's also here as we are present. See, that's why Paul says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. Not saying don't take a Sunday off or take a week off and go to a wedding and if you're sick, stay home. Or that's not neglect. But as I look around and I take stock, there's about 130 people here, but there should be 200. My question is where are they? Number one, have we fallen into patterns of coming to church every second week? And are we neglecting the gathering of the saints? Because we're actually not putting God's will first, we're putting our will first. Or have we kind of like just decided, you know what, I'd rather do church on TV. I'll be an audience. I'll watch. I'll get a message. Probably better than the one you'll get here. And I'll be blessed. And next week I'll do it again. And I'm a disciple. But if you had to take stock of your life and you had to look around you, do you have disciples? And this is a very personal question now. Because you, the factory manager of your factory, you making all gold for Jesus. What's coming out of your factory line? Is it all gold? Is it nothing? Sorry. Is it coup jam? What are you making? Because one day we'll stand before the Lord and the Lord will ask us, what have you made with your life? What have you used your time, your talent, and your treasures to produce, to make disciples? And so if there's no one around you, if you're not, then are you making disciples? Sorry, this is like, I used to be a pharmacy manager of Durbanville Mediclinic. We turned millions of rands of stock. And there were two dreadful times of year, stock day. It was dreadful because 8 theaters, 2 theater centrums, a retail pharmacy, a hospital pharmacy, and a theater pharmacy, and wards that carried stock in an emergency cupboard. And it took us a month to count. And that was hard work, but that wasn't the scary part. The scary part was when you got the lists back. And you put it into the system. And you started seeing the discrepancies. Oh, we purchased in the last 6 months 12 Savantas. We only built 7. Now it's 80,000 rand a vial. Where are the other 7? And the reason I'm sharing this message with you this morning is this: we will all face a stock take time. And it's not going to happen now, but it's best that it happens now. You see, what we then started doing, especially when in busy times and when we felt like our stock control wasn't good, is we started doing monthly stock takes. So before the auditors and the MDs came, we knew that our stock was right so that we wouldn't have to stand there shaking in our shoes. And maybe this morning is something of a moment like that for us. Because it's actually grace to you that you can do stock now before you die and go to be with your pharmacy manager. All right, I've drifted a little bit off. How long have I been going, Eugene? You don't know. Are you guys still with me? Are you guys excited? Is it warm? No, it's not. We are called to make disciples of all nations. We are called to baptize them, bring them into the fullness of the gospel, no part of our lives being left out. And we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we make disciples in the name of the Father because the Father has a plan, a purpose, and a destiny for your life. And so when you bring you into discipleship, part of what we do for ourselves and part of what gets done to us and part of what we do for one another is we find plan, purpose, and destiny and calling. What did I lose in this time? I lost my calling. I had a calling. I was leading a church with elders, with deacons, with you guys. We worked together. And then boom. Now I've got stuff to do. I'm not sure what. So I lost sight of the purpose. What's your purpose? Because if you don't know what your purpose is, then you're just aimlessly driving around in the sand dune. So what has God called you to be? Has He called you to be an encourager? Has He called you to be a lover? Has He given you a gift of hospitality? Has He given you a gift of teaching? Has He given you a gift of encouragement? Has He given you a gift of prophecy? Has He given you a gift of interpretation? Has He given you a gift of wisdom? Has He given you a gift of knowledge? Has He given you a gift of faith? Has He given you a gift of miracles? Has He given you a gift of healing? And if He's given you that and you know that, when was the last time you operated in that? So that when you operate in that, you feel part and you're on a journey with Jesus, because where Jesus is, we should be, and where Jesus is, He's doing the things. And so if you've been called, if you know that you should prophesy, if you know that you should interpret, if you know that you should encourage, if you know that you should be hospitable, if you know that you should open up your home, because it's been prophesied over you, or God's made it clear to you, or you felt the calling in your life, or the elders have sat with you, or your community leader, and they've explained to you who it is and what it is that God wants to develop yourself into to be, because you've got a calling and a destiny, and every one of you have got a calling and destiny. If you've done that and you're no longer doing it, well, then you're going to be in a sandstorm. And so maybe you're sitting here in a sandstorm, but you've lost the calling of what God's got over your life. And so if that's you this morning, I want you to be proactive. And I want you to go to your community leader. And I want you to go to your friends. And I want you to go to other saints. And I want you to go to your elder and say, listen here, I think I've lost my calling. I feel like I'm going nowhere. And we will pray with you, and maybe God will tell you. Or maybe God will leave you there for a while. I don't know. But let me tell you, even though it was painful for me this time, this has been a good time for me. Joseph was in the jail for 3.5 years. Joseph was in the pit. Joseph was sold as a slave. We sometimes go through these times of distasso, of doubting and pain, so that God can form in us something for the next season. So maybe God will, maybe God won't. But being a disciple means that you know the call of God for your life. You know that you've got a plan, a purpose, and a destiny, and you're pursuing it. You are moving. Even if you are stuck, your wheels are turning. You might need someone else to take the valley key away. But your wheels are turning. Your engine is going. Being a disciple means that we spread the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ, who came to be a mediator for man. In other words, the good news of the gospel should flow from our hearts to those people around us that don't know Jesus. Every single one of us is called to be an evangelist. We are called to tell people the good news that Jesus has come and died so that he was a propitiatory sacrifice for us. Big word means that he was a sacrifice so that God wouldn't be angry with us. So God's anger got poured out on Jesus so that we could go free. So there's two applications to this. Maybe you're sitting here and you think God's angry with you. If you're a Christian, he won't be if you're in Jesus. Wow, if you're in Jesus. You see, if you're not in Jesus, then you might start, it's okay to start feeling uncomfortable. It's probably good for you to start feeling uncomfortable. But if you are feeling uncomfortable, just get back into Jesus. It's easy. It's a prayer. It's a prayer by yourself and a prayer with someone else. Easy. Fixed. God's anger is no longer on you. But the second thing is as we evangelize, is we don't tell people about God's anger. We'll tell them about the good news that God is heavily angry. But Jesus. He took it away. You don't have to face God's anger. If you don't accept Jesus, you will face his anger. And you will go to hell. And then it's not a nice place. And we should talk about these things. Because making disciples means speaking about the uncomfortable things. Like hell. Like your marriage. Like your financial management. Like your kids. Like your dog. As a pastor, you realize there's two things that people just don't want you to speak to them about. One is their dog and the other one's their children. But rather have a little bit of pain now than a rebellious teenager at 16. And then have no relationship with your child until they're 24. You know, being in the community of faith, being a disciple means opening up your life for a little bit of criticism. Not a critical spirit, but a little bit of input into your marriage. And also be willing. Because it's easy to say I'm willing. It's a lot harder to see something and to go speak to someone about it. Oh no, someone else will do it. Ach, it's fine. They'll sort it out themselves. But the Bible says that God disciplines those that he loves. And if you're not being disciplined, then you're not a son. Then you're not in the family. So if you see something in someone else and you don't help them with it, do you love them? Because Jesus' command to his disciples was the last, like this sums it all up in John. Love one another. This is the commandment I leave with you. Love one another. I want to exhort you this morning to love one another. To love one another enough to talk about the difficult stuff. And this isn't in the hierarchy. We're not professionals. It's not just that the elders speaks to the deacons and then the deacon speaks to the home group leaders and then the home group leader speaks to the rest. No, we're a body. And that means we all speak to one another. I mean, you got to be wise how you say things. So say things like, I think I see this in your life. Can I maybe speak to you about your children? Can I maybe help you with your business? Can I maybe help you with the way that you're treating your wife? Can I ask? And I'm telling you, most of the time, people will say, yes, please speak. Please help me. Because that's encouragement. You know, the worst thing is doing the same thing over and over and over and just never having breakthrough. But yet, there's some of us that are sitting with the keys for breakthrough and we maybe not helping each other. So love one another. Because that's what Jesus did for us. Yes, like this is the Holy Spirit. So we're going to skip a few things, but we've gone from the Son, now we're on the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them in the name of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that's now here. He's now the gift. He's the Parakletos. We don't see Jesus. We don't, well, maybe in dreams and visions, and he's maybe amongst us, but he's the one that now fellowships with us. He's the one that now lives in our heart. He's now the one that speaks to us and leads us and guides us and tells us and warns us and encourages us and moves us along. He's the one that we should be welcoming. He's the one that's like a dove on our shoulder that we walk with every day. So we need him. So we need his presence. We don't need him in theory. We need him in practice. We don't need him in our heads. We need him with us. And so if he is the spirit of peace, do you have peace? If he's the spirit of kindness, do you have kindness? If he's the spirit of prophecy, are you prophesying? Because you know that you have him when you have him. And if you don't, you don't. And it's so easy to wander from him. But God calls us to be a people that operate with him and allow him to produce the fruits of love and patience and kindness and goodness and goodwill towards one another. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you don't have goodwill towards everyone in this room. Maybe it's not even someone in this room. It's someone that should be in this room. And there's not goodwill, there's some bad will. Now the Spirit of peace is the one that empowers us so that we can forgive. So that we can love. It's not easily angered. It's not distrustful. And so being a disciple means looking at myself through the grid of the Holy Spirit, examining myself, taking stock of my relationships and going, all right, I'm all right with everyone. Or am I? Because if I'm not all right with everyone, the Bible says, don't say that you love God, which you cannot see. Don't say that you love God, which you cannot see, when you can't love your brother that you can see. So do you love everyone? Are you happy with everyone? Or have you withdrawn? And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And I want to encourage us to prophesy over one another. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 says this, and this is what I want us to do. You know, I've talked a lot now about what a disciple is and what it looks like and what we should be like. But this is what I want us to do. I want you to do for each other and for me, because I'm with you, what they did for me. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. What should we desire? The gift of prophecy. What should we follow? The way of love. What should we desire? Spiritual gift. Sorry, just back to that verse. It's kind of like a nice little dipstick, a thermometer into our hearts. If we are following the way of love, I almost want to say we will eagerly desire spiritual gifts. It's like a nice little dipstick. So you can almost go like, okay, I'm in the way of love because I desire these things. I desire to bless my brothers. Right? And I desire the gifts, especially of prophecy. Okay. But he who prophesies speaks for edification, exhortation, and comfort. And so what are those things? To exhort someone is to stir someone up in their calling. So this is what I want us to do, is I want us to stir each other up in our callings. Like in your quiet time, in the times that we are around each other, think about this. Think about what God's called you to be, but then also think about what God's called your neighbor to be, or the person in your community. And stir one another up by speaking those things over them. You see, I didn't miraculously just feel better this morning. No. Words were spoken. The spoken word was received by my spirit. When it was received by my spirit, there's something that welled up inside of me that was faith. Not something that's done in the flesh, something that's produced by the spirit. And what it does is it creates power, which when I react to it, will move me forward. You see, remember we're talking about just making disciples and moving forward this morning. So the significance, the importance, the underline of what everything I spoke about this morning is this, is that we need to speak to one another. We need to speak the Bible, and we need to speak stirring up words about the calling that God has for each other. We don't speak it out of our natural understanding or natural mind. We speak it out of a place where the Spirit speaks to us and we speak to them. And you can also maybe speak it out of natural observation. That's what I think Eugene did this morning. He just said, like, look over your shoulder, man. Building up each other in our faith. Saying God did it for you in the past, did it for you in the future. And consoling one another. Like when people are really down, when they are really going through a difficult time, let's speak words of encouragement and let's help one another. And that's what it means to make disciples.